Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 202. Tom, top of the day to you.
G'day, Leah.
Oh, g'day, mate.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. G'day, mate. What are you drinking?
I've got Dr. Pepper with cream soda. It's very sweet and sugary.
Yeah, but if you're feeling a bit like low in energy, that's going to give you the boost for a short amount of time, but it's going to boost you up,
right?
It's going
to get me show ready.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's going to make me sleepy after.
Yes, but you can go to sleep afterwards, can't you?
What a waste of my life.
We have got a very special guest coming up for us a little bit later on in the program, during the watching suggestions,
Here's
actually.
Here's a clue.
Yes.
It's not Batman.
No, we haven't had Batman yet.
No. Keeps asking.
Well, we're too busy.
We get ready to record and I'm like, where is he?
I wasn't expecting that sound. That was very good. We also have a quiz that is the quiziest theme for the quiz that I've ever quizzed.
Oh, I'm game for that.
Very good.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This edition is brought to you by Lydia from Skyrim. She's gone missing, but hopefully will show up at some point in time and get in the way. The guttering around the council chambers will be replaced next week. So if you have anything stashed in there, might be a good time to get your ladder out and pop on over and collect your belongings. It won't come as a surprise to anyone when I say the guttering has been sagging in a significant manner lately. It won't come as a surprise to many when I say that the guttering has been sagging in a significant manner lately, and there's fears it will break away from the building in the upcoming storm season and everyone's treasures will go missing. The tradition of gutter stashing has been around since the mid-17th century, after local pirates ran out of dirt to dig up and bury their stuff in. At the time, the area was in drought, so the gutters weren't being used for anything and proved to be high and out-of-the-way spots to hide things. But with the centuries of stashing, it's now time to replace the guttering with sturdy new titanium. Pencil in the 14th of next month for the town's super secret and surprising Men in Black dance flash mob. Get yourself a suit and black sunglasses and come along to the gazebo to take part. Tommy Lee Jones will be the guest on the day and promises to look unimpressed. Denise Gallstone will be offering free postcards sent to your address of choice as she travels from exotic location to exotic location on her upcoming caravan park holiday. She'll be away for 3 months and has plenty of spaces left in her address book. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Let's get into the news. You've got a fair bit, so why don't you go first?
Sure, let me open up this great big news bag. Now, first thing I'm going to kick off with, do you love Shrek?
Who doesn't love Shrek?
Who doesn't love Shrek? Well, it turns out audiences and crowds at Universal Studios don't seem to love Shrek as much anymore. Now, Shrek has had a 4D movie theatre thing there for quite some time at Universal Studios, Hollywood and Orlando and a few places in Asia.
Okay.
I think Singapore. Yeah, Singapore. Mm-hmm. We went to the one there and it still had. A couple of years ago, they closed it in Hollywood and they replaced it with a DreamWorks theatre that shows Kung Fu Panda.
Fun.
A much more relevant, you could say, recent DreamWorks profit.
Yeah.
Yes. They've announced that it's closing very soon at Orlando. They haven't announced what's going to be going in there. Rumors are going that they could be getting the Secret Life of Pets ride that opened in Hollywood that's very popular. But look, whatever comes there, it means that Shrek no longer has a physical presence anywhere in the States.
Interesting.
And just like Jaws, you now got to go to Asia to ride something that was, you know, a major part of the park for quite a while.
So how long would Shrek be around for? Early 2000s?
Yeah, I think it went in somewhere around 2004.
Yeah, okay.
It was, I think, not long after the second film had come out.
Yep.
Something around that. And, like, the jokes in it were very dated. But, you know, the gingerbread man runs around and sticks his tongue out so everyone gets squirted with water in the theatre. It was that sort of thing.
Classic joke.
Yes. So whatever. I always enjoyed seeing that film. And, you know, theme park lovers love to complain about things like, it takes up so much room. It's an audience soak. They put it near the front gate because no matter what, you know, they show that movie every hour and for 20 minutes, there's 20% of the park is tucked inside there watching that. You know what I mean? It makes lines go down on other rides and all this sort of stuff. Enough. So it plays a really important role.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they replace that with.
It is interesting that it's not as popular as it used to be because when I think about, you know, kids growing up now, they're discovering for the first time ever Shrek.
Yes.
And loving it. So if you were to take a little kid to a park now, they'd be like, oh, that's Shrek, let's go in. So they would be experiencing it. I don't know if they would. Oh, really?
I could show Shrek.
She wouldn't be interested?
40% of those jokes are so dated.
Yeah, okay.
You know, she's not going to understand why Fiona jumps up in the air and the camera goes around her.
Sure. Or, true.
That film was a big deal because it was so pop culture and relevant at the time, but it's 20 years now and a lot of that stuff is just gone.
And there's just so many other movies
that
could easily – yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, and there's not going to be another Shrek movie. It's probably not. Too far gone.
Anyway, it just feels like some sort of a Universal executive basically walked over to his window at office going, get out of my swamp! So Shrek's got to go.
Bye, Shrek.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Now, everyone in the world seems to love Ted Lasso, and I'm super happy for them. I haven't seen it, so I'm not.
Lynn's just watched it all.
Does she love it too?
She loved the first season.
Okay.
It seems to be the general consensus. She loved the first season,
which
seems to be the general consensus.
Mm-hmm.
I sat in on bits and pieces of it. It's fine. It's not quite my vibe. The first season was a lot funnier. The second season appears to have a lot more drama and
and
there was some bullshit episode that I walked in for of like following the assistant head coach. There was like a drug trip, nothing to do with the story. Everyone hates that episode. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's the one that I watched most of, so that's kind of colored the show for me.
That's so frustrating. Mm. Well, some fan favorite characters will be back for season three. Apparently they were in – well, one, James – Lance, who was in seasons one and two, he played the columnist Trent Crim.
Mm.
He's going to have quite a big role in season three. And the team psychologist, Dr. Sharon Fieldstone.
That makes a lot of sense.
She's going to be in
with the events that happen around Ted's mental health and, you know.
Sure.
Someone publicly outs his mental health conditions. It's pretty uncool.
Not cool. Not cool at all. So if you are a big Ted Lasso fan and you're hanging out for season three, that sounds like where it's going, the direction of it. I'm saying names I don't know because I haven't seen any of it.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
You can't watch everything.
Yeah. You know what you can watch?
What?
I'm very excited because Always Sunny season 15 has finished. They've wrapped after more than 2 year break since we had any episodes from them.
Crazy.
You know, they've been off doing their different things. They, of course, have two of them are working on Mystic Quest.
Yep.
Raven's Flight.
I think so. That's the one for – that's on Apple. Yeah.
Yes, Apple Plus. And Glenn has been off making AP Bio, of which I just started watching season four.
Awesome.
On Peacock.
I can't believe there's four seasons of that.
Well, now it's on Peacock. It's trimmed down, so they only do eight season episodes. And they're great. It means that there's no wasted episode.
Yep.
Clicks on. Anyway, they revealed the first photos. Now, Mac, who is the head writer and he's the creator of the show and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been on Mythic Quest and he's pretty jacked there. Several seasons he's like dramatically altered his body and then they don't address it for a bunch of episodes and then there's an episode about it. So there was one season that he got really fat, like as in put on about 35 kilos.
Oh my gosh.
And walked around for the season, eating burritos out of a large black garlic bag.
I mean, that's living a dream.
Yes. Two seasons later, he got like Marvel superhero jacked. He had downtime because other people were off doing stuff. So he just poured all his effort and money in. He said, I did nothing fun for 6 months.
Oh my gosh.
But look at me now. Anyway, this season, the photos have come out. He looks like a Philly dirtbag. He's got a horseshoe moustache.
Brilliant.
He's got long, perfectly weird, like straight sheeny black hair.
Really?
Yep.
I'm just trying
down
to picture
past
it.
His elbow, his hair. He's wearing what looks like a Charlotte Hornets 90s bomber jacket. No. Like teal.
This is a look.
He looks like a character from Grand Theft Auto, yeah, basically.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He looks like the sort of guy that's going to send you to go and take down a rival drug baron or something. It's amazing. I'm so here for it. There's no context for why he's done it. He won't talk about it. It's just it's going to happen on the show and something will drop and be like, oh, he's imitating his father or something like that.
You'd know if you watch the first three episodes. Season 15.
Season 15. It is the longest running live action comedy on television.
It's insane. I mean, it's so popular.
And they were going to wrap it up and he ended up having a conversation with Larry David and Larry David said to him, no, don't end it. Just pause whenever you want. You've got the relationship now. He's like, that's the relationship I have with HBO. They understand that if I need to take a break and not come back for 4 years, I will come back and I'll give them more and I'll give them great ratings, but don't pester me for it because when you pester me, you get crappy episodes.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all. And that's
how creative stuff works.
It really seems to have worked the last couple of seasons for Sonny to let them all go off and have their summer break and go and make a different show or a movie somewhere and then come back and do 3 months intensive
sunniness.
10 episodes. Yeah.
That's so cool.
So here for it.
So when's it coming out? It must be soon.
It must be soon. I think.
Like we'll definitely get it by the end of the year.
Yes, I think it'll be before Christmas.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So there's a new animated series, Star Trek Prodigy. It's, like I said, it's animated.
I'm watching you try and describe something Star Trek. And also, you are so out of your depth right now. It's
glorious. I've gone from Ted Lasso to this, and also I scrolled and completely lost where I was up to. I was like, what am I doing?
You need to beam it up.
Yeah, I do need to beam it up. Scotty.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you very much. The voiceover cast is pretty impressive. You've got David Diggs, Jamila Jamil, Jason Alexander, who is in it, as well as Robert Beltran, who was in Star Trek Voyager. Because I was like, Robert Beltran, why are they mentioning that name? I Googled it. I was like, I remember him from Star Trek because I watched a few episodes of Star Trek with Marnie, who is a massive Trekkie. And when we were traveling through America, that's what we would watch, some Star Trek stuff.
Did she ever tell you about the trouble with Tribbles? Trouble with Tribbles. No. You should ask her about the trouble with Tribbles. She will enjoy being asked that question.
Okay, fantastic. I'll definitely ask her. So the show's going to premiere on the 28th of October, Paramount Plus, which we've got here, right?
Mm.
Like I'm pretty sure Paramount Plus is here in Australia.
I don't know. I pay for enough.
We must ask Abe and Ormani. They're the two Trekkies that I know.
Yeah. I'm not committed enough to that Trekkie life.
No. I don't dislike it. I just haven't gotten into it.
I was all about Next Gen back in the day and Patrick Stewart films were great and stuff and then I just haven't stuck with it since then. Sorry. There's too much of it now between Discovery and Lower Decks and
I watched Discovery. I watched the first season of Discovery.
Because of Sonequa.
Yes, that's right. I'm trying to think what her name was in Sasha in The Walking Dead. Sasha?
Yes.
Yeah. So I watched that and then for no reason I just didn't watch any more of it. That's okay. You don't have to. You have to keep up with everything. Speaking of enough, I've heard enough of that. Give me some new, fresh news.
All right, I'm going to give you a two-pronged one. These are two stories, but I'm going to tuck them together because they're both Marvel.
Brill.
Number one, I don't know if you heard, but there's rumors going that Catherine Hahn has been approached by Marvel to do her own series of Agatha.
Yes.
Whether that's Agatha All Along or some other less good name.
Yeah, I think you're right with that one. Yep.
Who knows what it'll be?
It's got to happen.
I have a feeling they're going to Loki her up and
she
make her
anti-hero. She was nominated for an Emmy. Like, yeah. Make she's got to be like that. Yep.
Or set her up to be a bit of a connective villain, not at the level of Thanos, but, you know, someone who's popping up in plenty of the films and is
could be in the film, series.
Yeah, it could be a thwarting challenge moving forward. Not a giant big bad. But a constant nuisance on the level of a Loki again.
Get out of the way. Yeah. What if she appears in Loki for an episode? That'd be fun.
That would be fun. I could see her popping up in Doctor Strange too.
Oh, Doctor Strange, yeah.
I could very, like, so not spoiling stuff, but WandaVision's a little while finished now.
Mm-hmm.
When we last saw her, she was left in the town with her mind stuck in the fantasy, and yep. she's the only one.
Yep.
I could very much see Baron Mordo, who was Dr. Stephen Strange's he was training with him in the first one. So he was Baron Strange and Mordo Baron Mordo at the end of Doctor Strange.
Yep.
He goes off and vows to stop magic users. He's going to go and snatch their power. So I could see him very much teaming up with her, going to her and releasing her.
And saying,
as an ally.
Boy, have I got a job for you.
Yep.
That sounds cool. I reckon Marvel would be mad not to lock her in.
Oh yeah,
absolutely mad. She was a crowd favorite.
Yeah, she's a fresh, breath of fresh air compared to what a lot of their villain style is.
Yeah, definitely.
To have someone who is an ally and friend and anyway, the other part of my
this is the second prong,
and this was just before we went to air, so it could change, but who knows? Apparently, Will Poulter has been cast as Adam Warlock for Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I saw this and I was like, that sounds really cool, but I don't know who he is.
Or who Adam Warlock is.
Well, no, I know Will Poulter.
Yes.
Like, he's been in heaps of stuff. I remember him in the Maze Runner movies. Yes. I say the movies, I only watched one of them. Reverent, he was in...
Midsommar. Yes. Sorry, how you pronounce it? He's in Where the Millers.
I always assume he was in Game of Thrones. He's not. I'm pretty sure he wasn't in Game of Thrones, but I always assume he was it.
You confusing him with Thomas Salinger.
That's it. I'm pretty sure I get those two mixed up. But he was in Bandersnatch, wasn't he?
He sure was.
I tried to change his storyline. I couldn't.
He's pretty locked. So, yes, he's looks like he's locked to play Adam Warlock. Now, Adam Warlock, in the comics, there was a group of scientists who tried to create the optimal perfect human.
And that's him.
And when that happens, he freaks out so much that he disappears into deep, deep space, and he's a space guy. And that's it. And I don't know what they'll do, but he can't deal with our universe so much that he ends up going to a parallel universe and lives in a place called the Cancerverse. Everything there is perpetually dying.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, but he's a beam of shining light there. He's a great hero for a universe that needs him.
Okay, yep, so anyway, he's a hero. So yes.
He can be a hero. He's not.
Oh.
So at the end of Guardians 2, the gold-skinned people who were so angry at the Guardians showed that they were working on a cocoon.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so I remember.
That cocoon is where we're going to get Adam Warlock for years. Like, it's been 4 years since that. Everyone was like, it's got to be Zac Efron, right? He's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
So Will Poulter, I've seen him jacked, and I think he will do a really good job. But it's the idea of basically an Adonis. They're creating an Adonis, and at first believes that he's an Adonis.
So, like, say your agent says, I've got a casting, I've got an audition for you, is to play Adam Warlock. Adam Warlock. Just go for it. Like, your ego just boost a bit, right?
A little bit, but then
when you get it, and you're like, oh,
I can't eat a burger for 2 years. Nothing fun is going to be.
True.
It's going to be a lot of work.
So that he's going to be in Guardians 3. Have they started? They must have started.
They're heavy in pre-production. They may even be doing some initial principal photography, and things are rolling.
Yep.
I know James Gunn is heavy at work at it, and he confirmed it on Twitter today. I don't comment on this rumor stuff, but welcome to the family, Will Poulter.
Yep.
Apparently, his audition was so good that no one else was considered.
I would love to see it.
Yeah, me too. If he killed it that hard.
Yeah.
Because you hear about that stuff and
and you're like, yeah, really? Come on.
Originally, Doug Ray Scott was cast as Wolverine in the X-Men movie. And he had to drop out to make Mission Impossible 2 or something. And they went for the second round, and that's where they found Hugh Jackman. And apparently it was just like, oh, why are we bothering to see other people? That's Wolverine. So, yeah, apparently it was that kind of audition.
That's cool. Well, if that's the case, I mean, he potentially has a massive Marvel future ahead of him. No hamburgers for years. No. Hey, speaking of burgers, this has got nothing to do with it, but chocolate.
That was a good one. That was a good one. I
Timothy Shamalamalamalay. He posted a picture of himself dressed up as Willy Wonka for
Halloween.
No, just for the prequel. He's filming the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory prequel. Like,
did you ask for that one? Because I certainly did not ask for that.
I'm not sure I asked for it. I don't think I did. No, it wasn't me. I had to think about it, but no. But I am impressed with some of the people in the cast that are not called Timothy Chalamet.
Is Matt Lucas in there? It feels like
Matt Lucas is in there.
Is he really? I just said that as a joke. Okay, let me have a punt.
All right, go on.
So I want to say Matt Lucas is in there.
Yes.
I'm going to throw out like an Imelda Smolten or a Dawn French.
Unfortunately, I can't see either of those two. I would love a Dawn French in there. I think she would work really well.
Mm.
Like a bit frazzled, kind of like, what do you mean?
Is it Will Arnett or is there an unnecessarily angry person?
Okay, it's not a Will Arnett, but...
Tony Hale? I don't know. Is it being filmed in England or America?
It looks like it's England, okay. But there are some Americans in there. Keegan-Michael Key.
Of course. He's makes in a lot right. at the moment.
Yeah, he is. Who is the English comedian that has been in films?
Jack Whitehall.
No, for like 30 years now. They're like, put him in, get him to do a funny scene with like, I don't know, wrapping paper or something.
Timothy Spall.
Or have him suddenly fall asleep during a race.
Oh, Rowan Atkinson.
Of course he's in it. Yep. Who else should we get? I know. She likes to play queens and has won an Oscar.
A Dane?
Can be quite funny. Younger. Was in Fleabag.
Your Coleman.
Yeah. Yeah. You got your Coleman in there. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah. They're the main names. They're the main
still big
names. Still
doesn't make me want to watch that film.
Do you know what I think ruined it? For me?
That it's Timothy Chalamet starring in a Willy Wonka film?
Apart from that, because it does seem very serious with him there. No, I think it was the Johnny Depp one.
Yeah, sure.
I think that, I don't really want to watch that.
I already wasn't a huge Willy Wonka fan, and then they paired him with Tim Burton. And
that's not your thing. Leave him alone. He shouldn't have to put up with it. Tom, I think you've got one more story, right?
I do have one more story.
And I've got a trailer.
All right. Well, my story, prepare to get your socks rocked.
I'm going
to
sit down. I'm already sitting down for this.
Yeah, The Rock is a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's an actor.
That's right.
He's an activist kind of, but he's an entrepreneur. He likes to push his tequila and work out stuff. He's got a new thing.
What is it?
So he had a go at singing in
how'd that go?
Moana.
Oh,
what can
right.
I say except I'm off key with the rest of all the song. Thank you, Lin-Manuel Miranda, for making something that I can just talk along.
Hey!
Thank you. That's basically his vibe. No.
Oh, gosh.
The Rock
right.
is a rapper now. I know. I'm kind of here for it. So he's been very excited posting about this for a few days. It's not him putting out a rap album.
Okay,
it's
all
not
right.
that at
oh,
all.
I'm a little bit more.
So there's
into
a rapper
it.
Named Tech Nine. Tech Nine,
right.
who
is into technology.
So Tech Nine's kind of, I don't know if he's still recognized, but for a long time there, he was recognized as the fastest rapper in the world. Because he can string syllables
that's
and
good.
Make it
very talent. Yep.
He makes his voice sound like a staccato drum. It's
ooh,
crazy.
Okay, I'm going to have to listen to him. Try.
He's awesome. And Aussies might know him. I think one of his biggest hits here was there was a guy who might have been on Australia's Got Talent or the Idol, Australian Idol or something like that called Fig Kid, F-I-G-G-K-I-D.
Fig Kid, okay.
White boy rapper from Blacktown.
Mm-hmm.
And his first big single had Tech N9ne on it. And that was kind of seen as his bit of a thumbs up.
Oh, there's little spurts of memory happening.
I'm sure if you heard this song or even more saw the video, you'd know.
Yep.
Anyway, so Tech N9ne is part Samoan, something like that. So a few years ago, he and The Rock got to know each other and started really hitting it off. And Tech N9ne hit him up earlier this year and said, dude, can you do a spoken word outro for this song? I've done this song. It's called Face Off. And I want it to be the most pumped up, hyper workout song possible, really in your face. I'm thinking about getting a couple of other guys to come and sing on, do a verse as well.
Yep.
And I want a spoken word outro from you. Rock's like, leave it with me, brother.
Hmm.
and instead wrote his own little rap for at the end of it. It's not nearly as long as the others, and he looks like a chump because the other two guys in it, like King Iso and I can't remember the other one, but they're all part Samoan rappers.
Right.
They're all speed rappers.
Yeah, okay.
So they come on and straight up crush it. And then The Rock comes in at the end brilliant, and he's...
Of course he does. He does the dad rap. Brilliant. I love it.
It's a little bit dad rap, but it's so aggressive. And the video clip for it is great because they're all off and like Tech N9ne loves costumes or he has a character that, you know, the top of the scalp got cut open and his brain was changed up and so he's got superpowers from that. He's really out there. It's a lot of fun. Mm. So he's in this weird white face.
None of these things seem to connect.
They don't at all. And it's that weird dichotomy of well, I'll talk about it later, this Escape the Undertaker thing from WWE. It's a thing that exists with wrestlers. Mm. They can be so straight-faced and I'm going to kick your ass while I'm wearing this tutu and wearing a jelly and wearing a jelly ring. Or something, you know what I mean? Like they take it so seriously. Mm. And Rock does that. He's just like staring in camera and he's really aggressive. And, you know, my culture's strange. I'm coming at you. Tech N9ne, his record label's called Strange Recordings. Ah. So there's all these little shouts like Rock did his homework.
Yeah, nice.
It's clearly like, you know, if I'm going to step into this ring and have a go at being a rapper, I'm going to have my best crack. I don't imagine people are going to be bashing his door down to get him on their verses.
He's done it.
But the song was number 2 in the rap charts on iTunes and America.
So definitely and got a bit of, number, you know, the word got out.
Oh, it's number 8 on the charts.
Whew, okay.
So he's done very well.
Yeah.
And,
just another thing that Rock has done
just
well.
Just another thing Rock's done. And he's not going to be doing it regularly. It's not going to become a thing, which is a real shame because I feel like there's a trick missed because Will Smith doesn't do songs for his movies anymore.
He doesn't
either. Like how fucking good would a song have been for like
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend would have been good.
Yeah.
But Hitch.
Yeah, Hitch would have been
perfect.
Hello,
ladies, come on through. I'm going to teach boys 10. What to do. Yeah. I'm not going to swear. It's going to be quite pleasant. And if you don't like it, you can get plucked, peasant.
Hey.
But, yeah, Rock could really step in and start doing a bit of raps for his songs. 1, 2, I'll beat you like a rampage.
I was in Baywatch. I can't rhyme and rap. But something about running down the beach in slow motion with his red.
Yeah, wearing my Speedos, seeing where my dong goes.
Very good. Very, very good.
Thanks. I appreciate good rap. I can't rap if I have a few drinks and people
give it a go.
Egg me on.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll always, yeah.
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 Freestyle it.
But it's not rapping. It's just improv comedy.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make more jokes.
Yep. I get it. I'm surprised that I'm the person that's bringing the trailer to the park today. Whoa. Oh. But I saw a trailer for Narcos Mexico season 3. Oh. I feel like I watched season 2 about 20 years ago.
Sure.
I have very little recollection.
Who's in Narcos Mexico?
It was Diego Luna.
Okay.
He will not be in the third season though.
He's too busy in space.
Look, all I'll say is there's no need for his character to appear.
We already know he dies.
It happened in real life, exactly. So, yeah, the season 3 trailer is very explodey, very tense.
Sure.
Because Felix left the world and suddenly there was a massive, what do you call it, like just this gaping vacuum of power.
Power vacuum. Oh, I love a good power vacuum
and
story.
And now there's like all these cartels emerging and who wants to be on top? So every single one wants to do that. So this is the third and final season, so the stakes are really high. Yes, we know what happens at the end. Well, you can find out what happens in the end. It happened in real life. Mm. But I think it's going to get very messy and final. That's a word where I combine both together. I don't have long to wait. It's coming out on the 5th of November onto Netflix again. I just feel like this last run up to Christmas, we're getting a lot of series on a lot of different platforms, and we're going to be very busy.
I just want to throw out a little quick thing for you.
Go on.
And I think I'll talk about it more later. Far Cry 6.
Yeah.
If you're craving a good Netflix-style opening credit sequence.
Yeah.
Far Cry 6 feels like an episode of Narcos is starting or something like
that. Yeah, right.
Funky credits showing all the actors with their names against all this sort of stuff.
Oh, cool. That's almost like a bit of a GTA kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a while since I played GTA, but yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I do want to know more about Far Cry 6, so we'll be talking about that.
Do you want to know more about something else?
Yes, please.
Because I've got a fun fact. We both got really into that.
We did.
So earlier I was talking about an actor who's having a dabbling in rapping.
Yes, that was The Rock. You talked about Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, yes. But now I thought I'd pull a Missy Elliott, put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. We're going to have a look at who is the first rapper to appear in movies and television.
Oh, gosh.
If you were to have a guess, hazard a guess, who do you think it might be?
Okay. I don't know the name, but in Revenge of the Nerds, there was rapping.
Yes, you're in the right era.
Okay.
But I don't know if that was an actual rapper or if it was.
It might have just been the actor. I don't know. I can't think.
Ice-T.
Ah.
Ice-T was prominently featured as both a rapper and a breakdancer in the documentary Breakin' and Entering from 1983.
83?
Yes.
Wow.
Early West Coast hip hop scene. Ice-T's first film appearances were in the motion pictures Breakin' in 1984,
right,
and its sequel Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, also 1984.
Is that really?
Have you not heard that before?
No, I didn't know that that's where it came from.
Oh, yeah, that's the greatest sequel title. Like, that knocks down Secrets of the Ooze and The New Batch and all other great sequel titles.
People talk about it all the time.
It's Electric Boogaloo.
I just thought it was made up.
No, that's where it came. Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I'm going to have to watch this. Have you watched it?
Yeah. Hell yeah. It was one of the first DVDs I bought.
So good. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's breaking, rapping, early 80s. It's great. It's really, like, it's They're looking at a different period, but is if you want to see a snapshot of what cool was.
I do. I want that.
Not movie version of cool, but an actual breaking. That's what cool was, breaking.
All right. Ice-T was there. He must have been very young.
He was very young, but also now Ice-T is very old.
Yeah. Doesn't he play a cop?
Yeah, he's a cop. He's always got questions about what's going on. So I have my Ice-T voice is down because it's just a lisp. He's always kind of surprised about things. It's almost Mike Tyson.
It is. But yeah,
Mike Tyson's
that.
A bit higher and he's a lot more lispy.
Yeah.
Ice-T's down lower. It's only really T's and S's that he's stuck on. What?
Yeah, right.
You say this guy's addicted to crack?
Mm.
You mean like he can't get
I'm
off the horse?
It, yep. I'm looking away from you right now and that's him.
Think we got ourselves a double homicide. We got to go take these bad guys down.
That side that you did, that was his accent homicide. Right there. That was it.
I've watched a lot of Ice-T stuff over the years. I don't listen to too much of his music as Ice-T, but I have enjoyed a lot of his side project Body Count.
Would have been Ice-T or Body Count who would have been in the GTA games on the radio stations?
So Ice-T, I think, was one of the hosts maybe and was involved a bit. Body Count was definitely in some of them. Body Count was his heavy metal side project.
Right, okay. I don't remember that then.
Oh.
I don't think that was in GTA was what I mean.
But Body Count's been on different games and it wouldn't surprise me if some of their songs have been on GTA.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, there's been plenty of Ice-T on...
That's what I was going to say. I always used to get Ice Cube and Ice Tea mixed up.
I have a shirt of several ice cubes floating in a large glass of iced tea. And it's literally their heads.
That was very, very good.
Floating in an iced tea cup.
So Ice Cube. No, yeah. Ice Cube was the one in, how was it called? Like House Party? No, not
yes.
House
Party. Friday.
Friday. There.
He's the CIA boss in Jump Street 21 and 22.
Oh, that's right. And he's also the voice in maybe Black Ops 1 where he goes, he tells the team what's happening.
And that's his weird
They're
vocal.
They're taking B.
He's a
I don't feel like I'm saying a word anymore.
So I don't know. I like all these rappers that will hang out and do metal stuff and things. And I love the fact that Ice Cube and Ice-T, some of the oldest guys in the game that have stayed reasonably relevant for a long, long time, they've all dabbled in metal, hard rock, not just hip-hop, not just rap.
It shows you that they are fans of music.
Yes.
Not of their own music. Funnily enough, I stumbled across Mark Hopper on Twitch the other day. He was playing Animal Crossing. And I was like, oh, I wonder how he's going, because I heard that he was diagnosed with
bad cancer.
Anyway, apparently he's in recovery, which is really wonderful news. But people were, you know, talking about him and, you know, the band, and he was answering all the questions. Like, if you're a Blink 182 fan, it must be absolute heaven to be able to
type
something in a chat and have.
And it's crazy that Mark is really relatable and normal guy, and Tom DeLonge went to space. He became like the UFO expert.
Yeah. There was a quick mention of him where Mark said, oh, no, he's not really into video games, so I probably wouldn't ask him to come on. I was like, okay. Anyway, somebody asked him what kind of music is he listening to at the moment. He said, EDM. I'm really into EDM at the moment. I'm like, of course you are. Like, what the music you create as Blink 182 or what you did create 15, 20 years ago, it's not the only thing that these people listen to.
And look, in the same way
these people as in musicians.
Same way late 80s you had Aerosmith working with Run-DMC. Yeah. You had Anthrax working with Turn It Up. Bring the Noise. How have I forgotten? Anyway, whoever.
It's not Prodigy, but sounds Prodigy-ish.
I've got it in my head. I can't. Anyway, late 80s, early 90s is when hip-hop and rock started to experiment. Mm. Late 90s is where you got new metal, and that's where, you know, rap was in front of metal and stuff.
Yep.
There's this real surge that's happened, especially during COVID and lockdown, of metal artists starting to work with EDM people and singing for EDM songs. So EDM songs, traditionally you'd have your, you know, Ariana Grande or a very clean singing female voice up high, not distracting from the bass line. Whereas now they're doing like the guys from A Day to Remember have just done they did a song with Marshmallow, who normally works with Calvin Harris or really light things. And they did a really light, airy song, but there's some fucking breakdowns in there.
Yeah, right.
Crunchy guitars and moments where it's like, turn off the electronic stuff and let's just be, and then bring it back in.
And it works.
Really works. So I think that you saying that about, yeah, that makes total sense to me of why he'd be into that.
Yeah.
And Angels and Airwaves is pretty different from Blink.
That's
anyway.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. I'd forgotten they existed until you just said that then. That was a blast from the past coming back. All right. I think that was a wonderful fact and really led to a great discussion. We don't remember what the fact was. It was that long ago.
Ice tea.
Yeah, that's right. It was ice tea. That's it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
It's now time for some watching suggestions. And Tom, we have a very, very special guest.
Boom. Welcome to the studio.
Hello.
It's Shay.
Yay.
She's here. She's 9. And she's missing a tooth.
That was a very wonderful, exciting surprise last week, last Friday, during the Watchers quiz, lunchtime quiz. You came in, you exploded through the door and you were like, look at this. So were you just wobbling it? Or
No, I actually ate a piece of I was eating bread and the crust.
The crust.
Got it out.
It's weird the things your teeth will break on. I've broken 2 teeth eating Cheezels. Not at the same time, quite separate occasions.
I hope the Cheezels were on your fingers, because you've got to put the Cheezels on your fingers, right?
No, I put them in a crunch.
Oh, that's where you went wrong then.
And I was just crunching too hard. So I love Cheezels.
Yeah.
But I'm always nervous around Cheezels. That's why I stick to the tubes.
Oh, yeah. Sage advice. How's your tube
No. I've got one bag left and I have not found them further. So I'm on the fence as to whether I crack open that bag.
I'd wait. What would you do, Shay? Would you wait?
I would probably wait, but I remember you found them at nighttime.
That's right.
So next time I go to the supermarket, I would go at nighttime when they're restocking the shelves.
So I've got one bag of tubes left, but we had Freedom Day or whatever you want to call it yesterday. So I went for a good walk today, and that involved visiting two convenience stores, not supermarkets.
Nice. Yes.
And picking up a variety of Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew flavors.
And you got a sandwich there. What's in the sandwich?
Vegemite.
You know what? From this distance, and it was on an angle, I was like, I'm pretty sure there's a Vegemite label right there. Yep.
So Vegemite thing. I'm very excited. Free plug for bloody Domino's right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's Domino's or is it Pizza Hut? I don't know. They're doing a Vegemite pizza. Launched yesterday.
Okay,
it's a cheese Vegemite pizza. It's a cheese pizza, okay, but instead of tomato sauce, Vegemite.
I'd try it.
100% I will try that.
Shay, you seem a bit worried about that.
Nah.
Do you like Vegemite?
Yeah.
Dude, it's going to be like a cheesy mite scroll, but in pizza form.
Still nah.
I'm very here for this.
All right, Shay, what if somebody else bought the Vegemite
pizza?
She's
not gonna buy it herself,
and then she? And then you just have like a bite. Would you try it?
You'd steal some of my pizza.
No. I can't have too much Vegemite at a time. My brain just goes.
Yeah, right. Overdose. Yeah, right. It is very salty. I understand.
It's very salty.
Now, Tom, because we have this wonderful guest, Shay, here.
Yes, she's here for a good reason.
Yeah, she's done some, like, not just a little bit of watching. She's committed.
She watched a season of something last night that dropped at 6 o'clock. We were refreshing Netflix every 15 minutes from about midday for when it would drop. But it dropped at 6 o'clock, and then I took over. I took Lily for the night so you and Mum could watch the whole of
The Babysitter's Club Season 2.
Okay, so for anybody who hasn't watched it yet, where does Season 1 end and how, like, does Season 2 go directly into it or has there been a bit of time between the two?
It's been like 3 weeks between the two.
All right.
Is it for summer break? Was that it?
They went to summer camp at the end of Season 1.
Right.
And then... 3 weeks had passed from the end of summer break, from when the camp ended.
Mm-hmm.
And now
they're all back home, and that's where Season 2 kicks off.
Yes,
because I guess you can't work for the Babysitter's Club whilst you're on camp.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
Oh, they try.
Yeah,
they try and have a Babysitter's Club. You know, camp counselors and.
Can't stop.
No, they get in trouble for it.
Right, okay, all right. So, Shay, compare Season 1 and Season 2 for us. Did they feel different?
Sorta. Like Season 1, it's really good, and both seasons are really good, but I think Season 2 tackles on some more bigger subjects.
Mm, okay.
Rather than Season 1.
So what kind of subjects?
We don't need to say who, but someone has a family member pass away.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a pretty big subject. Yeah, okay.
So there's a bit of that. There's the main girl, Christy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's dealing with her mum has just remarried. Her mum, Alicia Silverstone, has just remarried into a very wealthy family.
Yeah.
And so some new people that they meet in that new neighbourhood suggests that perhaps they won a lottery. Aren't you lucky you won the lottery? So it's dealing with snobbery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now Shay, was that storyline in the books?
Yes.
I think so.
Both of the ones we've talked about were both in the books.
Awesome.
I haven't read all of the books that with the episode I'm about to talk about, but I read a bit of it. So Christy, her dad left after her little brother David Michael was born. And David Michael is about 7 now.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden, after her mum remarries, he comes back to town. And one of her older brothers, because she has 2 older brothers, thinks it's just because he wants money because they're married into a wealthy family.
Yeah, right.
And so they have a decision to meet him or not. Then, because Christy is one of 4 originally, she and 2 of her brothers... and decided to see him. Then the brother that thought it was just for money got a bit like cross and just mm-hmm. stomped off. Yeah, like the dad ghosted them, didn't come at all.
Oh, really? Oh, that sucks. So with these like serious storylines that you've kind of touched on, are there also funny storylines in there, like mixed in?
Can I say one that I laughed at?
Yeah.
The girl that played Dawn in season one.
Yep.
She's no longer on the show. She got cast in Doctor Strange 2 as playing Miss America.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
America yes. Chavez. So she's been recast. A girl that looks similar enough.
Sure.
But same sort of energy. And from what I saw, did a really good job. Obviously, I didn't watch all the episodes.
Yep.
But the first conversation that she's in, someone says, "How was summer?" And she goes, "Oh, it was amazing. It was so refreshing. I feel like a new person."
That's a good little in-joke. I like that. I like it when shows do that. Yeah.
And that was all the acknowledgement it needed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I heard you having some good chuckles.
Yeah. The one where the family member who died, me and my mum's reaction through that episode was, like, crying most of the time. And then, like, 90 minutes in, I said, "How could that much sadness be packed into, like, 26 minutes?
So have you gotten over it now? Like, is it – you're okay? Yeah. You've got – yeah, that's mm-hmm. good.
How long do you think it'll be before you go back in for a second watch? Tonight?
Probably.
The only thing that would be stopping you is if you decide to watch Loud House instead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about Loud House last time you were on the podcast, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
You still watching that a lot?
Not exactly the movie, but the TV show now.
Yeah,
someone earned some episodes from iTunes.
How many episodes do you have, do you reckon?
I actually know because it has a count on there. So I actually have 46.
Whoa. Have you seen them all?
No, not all of them yet.
Savoring them. Just got to savor them. I understand.
It was a big cleanup effort over the weekend.
Yep. Clean my room and 3 seasons worth of Loud House.
That to me sounds like the perfect deal. I would clean my room for that kind of thing too. Tom, have you cleaned your room for anything that you've watched this week?
No, I just clean the house most days.
Yeah.
The best part of lockdown ending so far was our cleaner came yesterday.
Oh, of course.
And so that's why we were doing a big cleanup over the weekend to prepare, you know, the final bit of polish before the cleaner comes.
Yeah.
So they walk in and go, "Oh, there's barely anything to do."
Everybody always does that. Like, I reckon we spend more time preparing the place ready for cleaners than they take to actually do the cleaning.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I wasn't looking to earn anything. Okay. I was just working away. Yeah. I was happy to be offering incentives.
So Tom, you were talking about a show that was coming up. An interactive show.
Yes.
And I think you've watched it.
Yes. So I watched it last night on the iPad quietly in the room with Lily sleeping next to me while these guys were downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I'll happily play it again on the big screen.
What is it?
It's on Netflix. It's called WWE Escape the Undertaker.
That's a good voice.
So it's a Halloween special, but it is one of the silliest, funniest, dumb yet very clever things I've seen in a long time. It very much is in that model of Bandersnatch.
I was about to ask.
Or the You vs. Wild rather than Man vs. Wild ones mm-hmm. with Bear Grylls.
Yep.
Whereas it's an interactive thing. The Undertaker has a haunted mansion. Now, if you don't know, Undertaker is a wrestler that's been around for 30 plus years, been very, very big and popular for most of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And his, you know, his character is that he's the dead man and he has this power that's comes from an urn you know, he can talk to spirits and his eyes roll back in his head and that's when he channels the power, all this sort of stuff. So he's in the mansion. It's his haunted house. And then 3 guys come to the door, ding dong. "Hey, it's the new day." And it's 3 African-American guys that have been around on the wrestling. One of them's been around for quite some time, but the mm-hmm. 3 of them got paired up probably 11 or 12 years ago now. And it's the only wrestling team I can think of that's never been split up because they're comedians.
Oh, okay. And
two of them are great wrestlers. The other one is an okay wrestler, but he's the mouthpiece or he's the strategist of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
But their whole deal is they fight with the power of positivity.
Yeah.
And like the strategist comes out with a trombone, and like does marches and intros. So it's the idea of, they basically come to the door, ding dong, "Hi, Taker, Undertaker, are you home? And they're talking to the camera. We heard that you were offering someone, if they can come and spend a night in your haunted mansion, then you can give them the power of your urn. And we were thinking maybe we could pair the power of the urn with our power of positivity for a brand new day. And it's these three silly cartoon character guys, basically in a live-action Scooby-Doo.
Yeah,
and you get to choose what they do. Are you following Kofi upstairs to follow the whispers? Or are you going to follow Xavier downstairs where there's fog?
I'm not going down there.
Oh, and but any time you do something and it's not the one you want, you can just hit undo.
Cool.
And it takes you
back. Yeah, that's fun.
And even though it's a haunted mansion, no one dies. Mm-hmm. It's not that sort of thing. It's like Undertaker grabs you in the mist and pulls you to his realm and you've got to face your worst fear. I'm going to lock you in this coffin. And he's in the coffin and he's like, are you going to join me? I'll let you out. Or are you going to stay loyal to your friends? And you're like, I'm staying loyal to my friends. Oh, your power is too powerful. And then, you're really,
and then you go back, yeah, right.
It is very much aimed at boys your Shay's age. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a young guys, young teens type of thing. But I had me laughing and smiling. It was just so silly. You know, they had to find a key that was hidden inside a crocodile that was at the top of the library. And you have to stand on a thing to make the crocodile mouth open.
Oh, cool.
And they can't reach it. So the strong guy has to throw the little guy up. All this sort of stuff. It's so silly. But I had fun. It's only a half hour thing.
Oh, but I mean, it sounds like there's so much rewatchability. Like
yes.
You can watch it tonight and have a different experience.
I think it would have a different experience. I don't think you can fail.
Yeah.
I don't think it's set up that way. It's not like Bandersnatch where there's 40 different endings or something. I think there might be one ending.
Okay.
And it works.
And it all, yeah, all
but I could be wrong. There could be a few different branching mm-hmm. things, but it feels like it's set up for you to have victory.
Sure.
And feel good about doing it and stuff.
Yeah, nice.
So I think my plan is I'm going to try and talk about a new Halloween special each week up
nice.
Until Halloween.
Perfect.
Next week, the Muppets Halloween. I don't know if you saw this, but
I
just dropped on
this.
Disney Plus.
Okay, I know
it's
what I'm doing.
Gonzo and Pepe.
Oh, yeah, great, great.
Get locked inside the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland.
Oh, no.
Will Arnett is their tour guide.
Yes. He's good.
A lot of people. Jason Sudeikis, I believe, is in there. Somewhere. A lot of cameos. Apparently, it feels very much like the old school Muppets Christmas Carol.
Great,
or
great.
Treasure Island, like that style. Celebrities popping in to do an hour work and having a great time.
Yep.
And then, so stay tuned. That's next week.
Okay, fantastic. Well, what I watched this week, I believe you might have watched as well, Tom, Attack of the Hollywood Clichés. Hosted by Rob Lowe. This show, this is on Netflix as well, this show did not outstay its welcome at all.
It was brisk.
It was so fast.
Hey, do you like cliches? Let me show you about 14 million of them. Do you want a funnier side? Now let's get back to the fast pace. That's how that show, I like
fast.
That pace, but like it was a lot.
It was a lot. Yeah, I actually rewound it a few times because I was like, so what movie were they referencing just then, because they would put the name at the bottom of the screen of every film that they showed
for
little
half bit. A second.
Yeah, so you missed it sometimes. You had to go back and look at it. But I thought Rob Lowe did a fantastic
Agreed.
Job.
Agreed. He was so flippant about the whole thing. It's just like, this is where he'd hang poop.
Yeah.
Let's hang poop.
He kind of reminded me of his Parks and Rec character a little bit.
Very excitable.
Yeah.
Literally.
I was really surprised when I first saw it. I was like, it doesn't seem to be a series. It's just this one episode.
And it did not need any more than that.
And now I know why, because they were like, yep. A lot of people in there, though.
Sure was.
There were a lot of people talking about movie cliches.
A lot of people. You look very intelligent when you can identify things like that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm going to seem very intelligent now when I mention, of course, they talked about the Wilhelm scream. A scream that you hear a lot in films and TV, whether you know you've heard it or not.
I think it might be the most used sound effect.
It's either, I was about to say it's either that or the cat scream, but I'm sure that the human Wilhelm scream would be used way more than the cat.
I'm sure it is, because it's in public domain. Like, it's a Creative Commons scream. Anyone and everyone can use it.
Yeah.
And everyone's known about it since the 90s, so everyone does use it, and it's so good.
They were talking about how people like Quentin Tarantino throws it in his films as well. Like, you just think about how the vast different genres, like comedy, serious, violent films that all have that one sound in it. I think it's hilarious.
It's used in Star Wars every film.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
Much.
It was a stormtrooper, I think. Yeah, very funny. I don't think we should talk too much about all the other cliches so that you can watch it.
Yeah, go and unpack it for yourself, because you will identify 90% of them within 4 seconds of them talking about, like,
That's the
you
one.
You will feel very intelligent.
Absolutely.
It's a good one.
Shay, what else have you watched this week?
I watched a show which had two cast members from the Babysitter's Club.
Oh, okay. Were they playing the same characters, or it was a completely different story?
It was a completely different story. Mm-hmm.
What's the show called?
This show is called Scaredy Cats.
So do they play cats and they go, meow?
Not exactly. It's got something similar to that.
So, okay, first, where is Scaredy Cats? Where do you find it?
It's also on Netflix, mm-hmm. and I discovered this on Saturday.
So it's a series, not a movie. Yeah. And what's it about?
It's about this girl. So her mum died when she was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So for her 12th birthday, she got like a special locket that used to be her mum's.
Oh, nice.
And with that locket, she also discovered that she's a witch.
Like, her mum is, or she is, or they both were?
Her mum was a witch,
yep.
But she discovered how to become a witch.
Ooh, it's a bit like Sabrina kind of thing?
It's a bit younger than that.
Okay.
Yeah. So how old are they meant to be, about 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And it's three girls, and they're all discovering to become witches or learning to become witches. There's some bad witches.
Yes. Mm. They cause conflict in every single episode.
Well, I wonder why they're there. So is it a bit funny as well?
Yes. There's a word that I didn't know existed till this come out.
What is it?
It's a witch historian.
A witch historian? Is that someone who is a historian about witches?
Yes.
A witch historian. I like it. They must have a lot of those in Salem and places like that where there are a lot of witch stories.
Sure.
So the whole series is on Netflix at the moment?
Yes, there's 9 episodes.
Cool. That's a nice amount.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it ended in a way that could be the end, but at the same time...
It could be more. Because the ending...
Oh, don't give away the ending.
I'm not. I'm just saying. Ending is something you want to watch because it's very surprising on what happens.
Bit of a twist, you reckon?
Yes. Mm. A very big twist.
Wow, okay. So maybe that does sound like there would be another season, potentially. Yes. If it's been a popular show, of
Nothing
course.
Announced yet. Okay. But it seems
it's
to be
only
doing
new,
well.
Right?
It's usually on the top 10 charts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that says a lot. Mm-hmm. Shay, I believe that you have to go and eat your lunch right now.
Yes.
So thank you so much for coming along and having a chat. So Babysitter's Club Season 2, yes?
Yes.
Watch it. And what was the last one again?
It's called Scaredy Cat.
Scaredy Cat Season 1, definitely watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Thank you, Shay.
You're welcome.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, Tom, what else have you watched?
I watched the finale of What If...
Me too.
Oh, what a surprise.
I know. I actually had a couple to watch.
I thought you might have. Back to back. That's why I haven't talked about it every week.
Yeah, I watched them back to back, which was good because I was in the mood.
And 7, 8, 9 do kind of flow.
They do. They really do. Yeah, so I'm trying to remember which one was which now. I must say, you were talking about the Thor one.
Yes, that was the 7th one where he was the party Thor.
Yeah, and you were like, oh, that one's a really funny, refreshing one, kind of.
Palate cleanser.
Yeah, that's right. And I really liked that one.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very, very
funny. I would happily watch more party Thor. Just what if Thor was dumber? It's basically what it is. Like, Great fun, but dumb as
just
blocks.
Dumb. Okay, so that means that
episode 8 was the one where it was Black Widow and Hawkeye at the end of the world, properly end, while Ultron, having gained all 6 Infinity Stones, becomes aware of the multiversal construct and steps outside it to take down the Watcher.
You're like, damn it.
And then that final episode, you get the what if the Watcher broke his oath, which the whole season's been building.
Yeah, I mean, because he
says every episode at the beginning is, I can't interact.
I can't do it.
And there's been very subtle visual clues throughout the season of him appearing more and more corporally. Is that the corporally?
Corporal.
In the flesh.
Yes. Yes.
It's been more and more of hints of that occurring. So it was cool to build to that at the end. The Guardians of the Multiverse was a pretty good team name. Very clever. We didn't see the episode with Gamora of why Gamora was wearing Thanos's outfit and was paired up with Tony Stark.
Yeah,
but we know something from the Lego, because there was a Lego set that came out with Iron Man in Hulkbuster armor that was painted to look like he'd been on the planet that Thor was on in Thor 3, that fighting planet where he fights Hulk.
Yep.
So there was going to be another episode where at the end of Avengers, when Iron Man flies the nuclear warhead through the wormhole and his suit clunks out and he falls backwards through.
Yep.
This what if was going to be what if the hole shut too fast? And it was him going to be stuck on the other side. And he was going to end up on that wall planet. And he was going to go through that storyline and get paired up with Gamora and this sort of stuff. And at this, it looks like maybe Gamora kills Thanos and either takes over his mission or takes over the costume. Order. So the pandemic thwarted their plans for that 10th episode.
Right.
So apparently that's going to be in season 2. They do want to return to that because they say it's a good storyline.
That might not be the first episode back.
I don't think so.
I think that might hit maybe second or third.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it needs to be at the beginning. I'm sure they'll tweak plenty of what that storyline was and so on. But, man, I loved that moment when the Watcher's forming this new multiversal team. No, Tony Stark, not you. Oh, that felt good.
That man can't be involved in everything.
I know, and ego on him. Oh, it was good. But, yeah, just, I don't know, there was nice storyline resolutions. It was a great team-up fight, you know.
Yeah, there was, actually, those last couple of episodes, maybe 3 actually, there was a lot of those action fight scenes that's Marvel.
Yeah.
That's
Marvel. And just, I don't know, there was just so many moments in that last episode that had me cheering. And Lynn's saw me afterwards and she's like, you're very happy. And I said, look, the best way I can explain this is the Marvel movies reward you for paying attention.
Yep.
The What If finale rewarded you if you're someone who takes notes. It's that next step up. So there's one shot where the Mind Stone is laying on the ground and Gamora gets smashed on the ground next to it. Oh, no, it's Captain Carter, and she turns. And it's an exact recreation of the shot from the beginning of the Guardians of Galaxy 2 when baby Groot's running around and they're fighting the monster in the background. All this sort of like because we talk about stuff on this deeper level.
You noticed it.
It was such a love letter.
Yet it's another it's like those Pixar films where, you know, adults get this level. Kids get this level, neither of them miss out on anything.
That's it. There was just so much stuff in there that didn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you knew, oh, I felt good.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt good.
So have you done a rewatch through the season?
No,
now?
I'm going to. I'm giving it a couple of weeks. Yeah. I've been playing some PlayStation in my spare time with Far Cry 6.
Oh, my gosh. How are you going?
It's not as much fun as I thought. But
oh, it's a shame.
I'm sure it will warm up.
Yeah, okay.
I only just got off the introductory island.
Right, okay.
But I have a pet alligator, so it's not all bad.
What's the alligator called?
Guapo.
Guapo.
Guapo. And then he'll run over and attack people for me. Okay. And I hide up with a sniper rifle. That's all I do. I just creep around with a sniper rifle. And I keep getting mods and they're like, do you want to upgrade your machine gun? No.
Because I'm never going to use it.
No, I want a muzzled sight.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right.
Can you get the, because I know in some Far Cries you could get just the really like the crossbow or the high tech.
Yes, I have a crossbow.
I haven't done too much of that.
I got a nail gun.
Ooh,
and that I put sounds... a silencer on it.
Oh my god! Now that's Far Cry. Yes. That's Far Cry.
So right that's there. What I'm saying. I have a sniper rifle for my main work, and instead of a machine gun or a rifle or anything for up close, I have a nail gun that's silent, so I can run around a corner and go shit.
It's your panic weapon.
So much so. And then there's a new thing called Supremo, because there's workbenches everywhere, so you mod out weapons all the time. And you get a Supremo backpack, which is like a rocket launching backpack, but you can alter it to do different stuff. So at first I had it as a rocket pack, but now I've got it set up so it sets off poison gas.
Ooh.
So I can like run into the middle of guys.
Do you have like a gas mask?
Yeah.
Cool.
But I can like run into the middle of guys and they all turn to start shooting me and I just press the things.
And they just fall down.
And they turn on each other.
Oh, nice. Yeah. There was a similar thing in Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah, where you could do that. What do you call it? The
blowpipe.
Blowpipe thing. And, yeah, you poison the tip and that person would – so you'd it was almost like a Far Cry thing where you would stand, you know, just on the side of the big outpost and you just go –
Well, I mean, there's all these different gases that you can use for different things. Cool. So there's the poison gas that makes them trip out. There's because the government on this island has apparently found a way to cure cancer by treating tobacco with this weird poison gas.
Okay, so yeah, that
they're selling that to the rest of the world. I know it's so ludicrous and ridiculous. But there's all these fields where people are dying because they're being forced to work in the tobacco, and the overlords get to wear the hazmat suits. But there's certain ways that you can like really quietly rip a hole in the hazmat suit, wait till they're near the gas, and then lob a Molotov because this gas is really flammable. It's
oh, that was a good sound effect.
Thanks. So I know I say it's not fun. It's because it's not fun. Yeah. It's guerrilla, like, you know, it's hard political stuff again.
Okay.
But I'm making some fun in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just steamrolled over what we're watching and talked about. Far Cry.
But that's what you've been doing. What you've been doing. Well, I watched Gremlins.
Oh, yes.
I reckon that was the first time in a long time because there were quite a few scenes where I was like, I don't remember this.
Sure.
I don't remember this at all. I also think maybe growing up we didn't watch it on high rotation like other films just because some bits were a bit scary.
Sure. It was very much in my mix. Mm. See, Beetlejuice was not in my regular mix.
Yeah, Beetlejuice and Gremlins were around the same level of watching for us.
Do you remember at Movie World when it first opened? For a long time they had a Gremlins / Beetlejuice ride.
I do. I remember the ads for it as well. They put it on TV, they'd have Beetlejuice on the TV for ages. Yeah, I just think it's fun to rewatch this stuff in the lead up to Halloween because they're classics.
And it's such a good movie.
I'm really interested now to see Gremlins 2 after you said what it was. But can I just say though, because on Friday in the Watchers quiz, you did this amazing monologue.
Thank you.
About a father in a chimney.
Yes.
From Gremlins. And when it came on, I was like, this is the scene. I thought you did a better job than her. You should get paid for it.
Thanks. I probably have practiced it more than she did for the actual thing.
But geez, those Gremlins are a bit of a pain in the neck, aren't they?
Aren't they? I'm really looking forward to do you think you watch Gremlins 2, the new batch this week?
I think so. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix.
I should hope so.
Yeah. I'll probably watch it.
Really good.
But you know what? I don't recognize the main actor in anything but Gremlins. I can't. I had a look at his IMDb and I was like, oh, he was in that. Oh, okay. Yeah, right. But that's what I remember him from.
I remember him from Gremlins 2.
Well, I'll enjoy watching him in Gremlins 2 very, very soon. But
no, he wasn't. Yeah, you're right.
I just don't remember him in a lot. Same with his father. The father looked like somebody that I should have known, but I didn't know him. But I did remember all of his. His different inventions, they're very funny, especially the juice, him trying to make the orange juice one breakfast. Like you can see the trepidation in his face. He's like, should I make it? Oh, my dad invented this juicer. I probably should. And then it was a massive mess. It just went all over the kitchen. And, of course, that was then the precursor for how messy not only the kitchen was going to get later on, but the rest of the town.
Mm.
Gee. geez, they get rid of them pretty quickly. Like the mother doesn't go, oh, maybe I should be careful of this. She's like, no, I'm murdering all of you right now, gremlins. You're all going
yep.
to perish.
That one in the microwave.
I remember that one. I remember that one. Yeah. Yeah, there are some rough bits, but does it hold up? Yes.
Yes, it does.
It does. It definitely does.
I would like to heartily suggest have a drink or few before you tuck into Gremlins 2. It doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to.
Okay.
It is. Okay. It is live action Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. I'll do it.
I don't know what to say to prepare you for it.
Just sit down.
It's so silly.
And be prepared it's for so nonsense. Silly. I get you. Anything else you've watched this week?
I'm going to make a suggestion of something not to watch.
Okay.
Very briefly. You know, I love Eli Roth's House of Horror.
Mm-hmm.
First episode back this season was Sequels That Don't Suck. That was great. Episode 2, Pandemics. Infections.
Yep.
Way too soon for
that. Yep, yep.
And it was all talking about, you know, getting horror directors to talk about how COVID has made us realize that contagion was not a fantasy in any way. Or Outbreak weirdly got a lot of things right and this sort of stuff. But, yeah. Don't watch it right now. Maybe maybe in a couple of months.
It'll
maybe,
be all right.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you're in America and you're not dealing with stuff. But
okay. All right. That's a good tip.
Okay.
Well, I think now it's time for the quiz. This is called Name the TV Game Show. So I have kind of written down a description of some of these shows and you've got to try and figure out what they are.
All right.
Some of them are super easy. Some of them are a bit convoluted. But I think once you get into the swing of it, you'll figure out my brain process.
Lock it in, Eddie.
Yeah, exactly. Except no, I thought that'd be too easy.
All right.
Yeah. First one, letters and wheels.
Wheel of Fortune.
Yay.
With Tony Barber. Was that who used to host it back in the day?
Or was it?
Was he the Silver Fox?
Tony Barber. Oh, gosh. What about the other guy? I can't remember his name. He had brown hair and a big smile, kind of like the Joker. It's too long ago. Didn't watch it enough. Okay. I was worried what would have happened to this show during like the Y2K thing, like the millennial thing, but it had ended by then. But I think they did a massive sale to get rid of everything beforehand.
Oh, was it perhaps the sale of the century?
Now that you're saying it, I'm wondering if they had the same voiceover guy for all of these.
So if they were Endemol here in Australia, then yes, they did.
Okay, probably were then.
Pete Smith was his name.
Is he still around, do we know?
I believe he might have died
quite
some time ago. He used to also be the radio announcer for Tony Martin and Mick Molloy's radio show.
Yeah. Do you remember they did the Brown album?
Hell yeah, and Eat Your Peas.
Yeah. They were so popular, and then they stopped, which is fair enough. All right, here's another one. They say customers are always right, which actually isn't right because – how do they know more about the products or the systems that are in place in like the shops or the restaurant or whatever compared to the staff? But anyway, I'm getting off track. But they also say the same thing about the audience. So you better say what they say or Gran will get very upset with you.
Drew Carey's Price is Right?
No.
Not Drew Carey's.
No, it's not Price is Right. So you have to, get it
lower.
No, you have to get it right. You have to say the word or you have to guess the phrase that the audience said, the majority of the audience said.
Oh, is that Pointless?
And your family's there with you.
Family Feud. Pointless is the opposite of that, isn't it?
I've never watched Pointless.
Pointless is great. I watched the UK one a bit over there when I was there with them, and it's the opposite of Family Feud in that you've got to guess something that no one in 100 people guessed.
Oh, cool. Wait.
Or you want to try and get the least amount possible. So you're trying to get the lowest amount of points across the game.
So you could just be as random as possible. That's fun. That's using your imagination.
Yes.
Categories for money do the whole thing around the opposite way. So the categories for money.
Oh, is that?
You do the whole thing.
Can I get something for $500? That's the, what is Jeopardy? Yeah,
that's very good. That's very good. The thought process. I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
there.
You
that
could watch
good.
That one.
Yep, yep. Bring your lock and phone to this one.
Don't forget your toothbrush.
No, but I love that show growing up. I thought that show was brilliant.
Lock and...
Yeah, so make sure when you go to the show, you bring a lock and your phone to this show. You mentioned it before.
Price is Right.
It's in Australia, it's filmed in Melbourne. The host is a really big fan of AFL.
Oh, who wants to
That's
be a millionaire?
Millionaire in Melbourne. Okay, last one. Mm-hmm. This is easy. Physical challenge.
It's a knockout? Wipeout?
No. Think kids show. Think Nickelodeon.
Curse of the Hidden Temple. I can't.
So the kids were given three options. They could dare.
Oh, double dare.
Yeah, okay. Double dare or physical challenge.
Sure.
Yeah.
I never watched that. That was slightly too old for me.
There was an Australian one. I think it was on the ABC.
Okay.
I don't think we got the American one.
Oh, we had Nickelodeon. I pestered my parents for Foxtel.
Yeah, you got it.
I pissed them. Yeah. And my dad was totally on board. It was my mum we had to convince.
Yeah.
Just so I could watch Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Yeah, it was a good show.
The time.
It was a great show. Oh, great show. Tom, that was wonderful.
What a quiz. Thanks, Leah.
Did well. We game showed the game show.
We did.
We're magic. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.